G'day everyone, welcome to Lubrication Explained. All right, so another session with Danila from Graco, our friendly Uber driver. So, this time we're going to talk a little bit about pumps, pumping fluids, all of that kind of stuff. Most people, I think, they see these kinds of pumps. You can see the another example behind you over there. Most people look at these pumps and just, it never really occurs to you how they work on the inside. So it's kind of helpful that while we're here at Graco, they've got a cutaway version of one of these pumps, which obviously are really prevalent throughout the industry. I thought it might be worth discussing just first of all how these work, and then we'll talk a little bit about specialty pumping situations. So, for example, when you've got greases at low temperatures, some lubricants at low temperatures as well, because one of the things that Graco I think does quite well is move fluids, right? So they obviously do paints, they do adhesives, they do glues, they do all kinds of other stuff. Having a look on and doing a little bit of troubleshooting, I think, with Danila about some of the issues that he encounters or common issues that he encounters with some of his clients might be kind of helpful. All right, so Danila, do you want to just take us through a generic operation of this one of these?
Yeah, the generic, I mean, most typical pumps in the industry, in any industry, but especially if, again, we're speaking about the lubricants industry, it's going to be pneumatic pump. This is the most common source of air, of power, and most of the people use pneumatic pumps because they're relatively reliable, I would say, and they have less active parts, like in electric pumps where you have the electric motor, the gearbox, and all the connections, all this electrical stuff. Some people don't find it reliable, and they prefer pneumatic pumps because the air is moving the fluid. So, but in a nutshell, how does it work? So this is the typical, this is a legacy, I would say. This is the fireball looking pump. So we have here the fireball pump behind me. This is our, I would say, probably if you go to any mine anywhere in the world and you go to the workshop, most likely you will see a fireball pump. So customers may know us by the fireball name. So this is nice looking, a nice sounding name. So this is the air motor here, which is from the fireball family pump. So how the pneumatic pump works, I mean, in a nutshell, really all we have to do, so there is an air inlet, there is a fluid outlet. So, and these pumps, they have got different pump ratios. So what is the pump ratio actually? So there can be the pump 1-to-1 pumps, 3-to-1 pumps, 5-to-1 pumps, 10-to-1 pumps, 50-to-1 pump, 36-to-1 pumps. So this is actually the ratio between the effective area of the air motor and the effective area of the lower part of the pump. So meaning, let's say if this is would be, for example, 10-to-1 pump, then meaning the effective area of the air motor here and the lower part is here. So this part would be 10 times low, like 10 times less than the effective air motor area. So why it is designed that way? Because we need actually to create pressure in the line. So, and all of these pumps for different fluids, for different applications. So also it's very important to know that if you, for example, take one family of the pumps and you will say, because we also at Graco, we do have like fireballs, 5-to-1, 3-to-1, 6-to-1, 10-to-1, for example. The series of 3-to-1, 6-to-1, and 10-to-1, they share the same size of area air motor with 4.25 cubic inches. It's a fireball 425. So there, and they all have options of 3-to-1, 6-to-1, and 10-to-1, meaning that they, if they have the same air motor, what is different is the lower part is different of the pump. So the 3-to-1 has got the bigger lower part, 6-to-1 smaller, and 10-to-1 even smaller. So even though 10-to-1 can create higher pressure, meaning it can create, it can overcome a higher pressure drop in the line if you have a cold temperature, a thick lubricant, or just a long dispense line in a workshop. So you most likely go for the 10-to-1 pump, but it's not that black and white, I would tell. So, and the point here, we need to remember that, you know, if someone wants the higher flow, they go, hey, I need probably higher pressure, I need 10-to-1 pump. But in fact, no, because if you're going, for example, there from 3-to-1 to 10-to-1 pump, you're reducing the lower part. And the lower part is actually responsible for the flow, because we count how much oil we can move during the one cycle of the air motor. So the air motor, air comes inside, so air motor creates, the air creates pressure in the downsides right now of the air motor. The air motor piston goes up, and while moving up, it actually also moving the rod over here. So if it would be an oil pump, it would be just a suction movement, so it would suck everything beneath it. So that's why most likely you will see just, we call the universal pump. It's basically the air motor. It's a short part here where you connect your hose, a tube, or whatever else you want to connect to put it on a drum, on a tote, on an IBC, on a bulk tank, or anywhere else you can put it. So when the air motor moves up, it also sucks every oil which is downwards from the pump. And then as soon as it reaches the valve, the air valve there would switch the size, and then it would start, the air will start flowing backwards, so and it creates movement backwards. So basically the air just circulating inside of the air motor, up and down, up and down. And when they're doing the cycle, you may hear this sound. So this is the exhaust, because we can also, we also need to release the pressure in the lower side of the pump. So and while moving, the air piston moves up and down. We also see that it creates a suction movement. If it's oil, if it's a grease, it's a bit different, because with the grease we cannot just easily suck the grease, because it's not like fluid, it's very hard to move it. So for the grease we actually use so-called shovel tube on the very bottom of the pump. So it actually just also the whole, this is all connected through a rod, it would be connected to the air motor size side, and then it would just also create like a piston movement up and down. But also with this mode, it actually, like with the shovel tube at the end, it actually takes a little bit of grease and pushes in the line. This is how it actually works. So coming back to the 3-to-1, 6-to-1, 10-to-1. So 3-to-1 pump, you know, have much higher flow than the 10-to-1, but it has much less air, much less fluid pressure, because also it's very easy math. So typical maximum air pressure on the inlet of the pump is like maybe 7 bars. But the typical operating that everybody is using is like 5 bars air pressure inlet. So what does 3-to-1 tells us? So if we give 5 bar air pressure inlet on a pump, and it's a 3-to-1 pump, then it will be 3 multiplied by 5, meaning I can create only 15 bars of the working pressure with this fluid. If it's a 10-to-1, with the same 5 bar air pressure, I can already create 50 bars. So it can also, and we need the higher pressure when we need to move some thicker material, or we need to move to the further distances, or if it's a colder, or any other particular reason. So that's why there are different types of pumps in that regards. For example, the big example I have, for example, for the open gears lubrication. So we have the pump, which is a typical grease pump, is the 50-to-1 pump. So this is the most typical pump. If anyone, you know, ask, hey, do you have a grease pump? They would most likely give you 50-to-1 pump. So I mean, if you also give 5 bar air inlet, it will give you 250 bars outlet.
Which is really good pressure, but also with that reduction, you can almost think of it like a gear reduction. That's why grease is so slow to pump too, right?
Exactly. So, but also for the open gear applications, when it's a colder environment, we have got 75-to-1 pumps. And the point here, it's the 75-to-1 pump has got the same maximum fluid pressure as the 50-to-1 pump, and let's 350 bars, for example. So it has got the same maximum working pressure, although the pump ratio is different. So the point here is, if you have got the limit in your air availability in your plant, probably, and you have only like 4 bars, with 50-to-1 pump, you can create only 200 bars. But you probably want to go up to 300 bars because you need that pressure to move the fluid because it's cold in your cement plant or something else. So the easy solution here is going for our 75-to-1 pumps, because with the same amount of air, we can create higher pressure. Mm. The flow will be lower, but we don't always need flow. We sometimes, especially with grease, we need some pressure in the system, especially open gear lubrication, because we don't need much lubricant there. We just need spray a little bit, and we need to make sure that the grease is delivered to the spray guns. So that's the pump ratios, the differences. But also, talking about the grease, there is a big problem moving greases. I mean, especially in the environments where we have a big, large automatic lubrication reserves, like let's say a mining shovel or something, where you have 180 kilos drum of reserve there, that like on a big shovel, or some custom made for 400 kilos there. So if you take a typical 50-to-1 pump, it would give you most likely like 2-3 kilos a minute on the free flow. The free flow meaning if just we stick the pump in the grease, we don't connect anything on the outlet and we just let it run. It will probably give you 2-3 kilos a minute.
Yeah. So with the additional back pressure that of all the lines, then you're expecting much slower than that, right?
And like 1.5 kilos a minute. So when you can imagine 180 kilos, 1.5 kilos a minute, I mean, it will take you like a couple of hours to do the refill. And it's a true story. I mean, if you really speak to someone, you know, hey, how much time does it take for you to refill auto loop on this big shovel? They will most likely tell you that's a pain for them. So on the, all these loop trucks that they have, you know, they have these typical 50-to-1 pumps that just, they're doing great job for greasing these yokes for manual lubrication, but for transferring grease, it's not the ideal pump. So it's like Graco, yeah, we do a lot of stuff moving fluids, different kind of fluids. We share air motors between different divisions to share the technologies between within the Graco. So, and we have really nice pump, which is like, has got 36-to-1 pump ratio. So, and it has got 7.5. So this one is 3-inch air motor, and this is a 3-inch air motor behind me there. But also we have got 7.5-inch air motor. So we took that air motor, we put a big lower to that pump, and we created 36-to-1 pump, which can give me the pressure of 3,600 PSI, which is around 250 bars, I guess, around that, which is pretty decent pressure, especially when you need it just to move. You don't need to grease under high pressure. But it also gives you a flow of 14.5 kilos per minute. So it's insanely higher, like 7 times higher. So meaning it can easily transfer a drum of grease and LJ2 within 15 minutes easily. So the pump, I mean, really, if you want to, we spoke a little bit, if you want to move higher amount of fluid, yeah, you need a bigger pump, but you need a smart bigger pump. So you need to make sure that you have your right pump ratio to create enough pressure in the line. But also you can go for a bigger pump. Or one thing I also noticed in the field, and again, in the cold environments, in a loop truck applications where they say, I speak to the customers and they say, hey, I mean, I have this engine oil, we just changed from this brand to another brand, are really hard to pump in the winter. Or it's gear oil, even more harder to pump because it has a higher viscosity. And I said, we wanna change the pump. Can you offer us a pump or something like that? So, you know, I could offer them a pump with the higher pump ratio, but with moving to the higher pump ratio, they are losing on the flow because they can create like 10-to-1 pump. For example, our fireball, I think on the free flow is around maybe like 30, 40 liters per minute. I don't remember exactly. And our 3-to-1 pumps can give you over 100 liters a minute on the free flow. So pretty high flow. So, but there the solution is different because the pump is part of the problem potentially. And the oil is never a problem for that. I can tell you even, I would never actually say that, you know, the pumpability of oil. And if we are talking about this fresh oil dispense, I would say I disagree that the oil can be a problem there. It's the system that can be a problem there because, first of all, you need to have a right pump, which can create enough flow and enough pressure, which you want to achieve. Then you need to make sure you don't downsize your tubing and your pumping. You don't use narrow pipes and narrow tubes. But the most important in these loop trucks and the big workshops, they use hose reels. And those like 15 meters hose in a coil, and very locally, and then you have got a meter handle, you take this 15 meters and it's outside if it's cold. So it's getting cold, pretty much cold. So, and you know, from the price standpoint, half inch hose reels are more affordable, I would put this way. Then they have got only half inch hose reel inside, 15 meters. There are more robust outdoor rated hose reels, which can be mounted outside, rain, snow, doesn't matter anything for them, quite robust hose reels. And they have 3/4 hose reel. And I can tell you, changing half inch hose reel to a 3/4 hose reel have a higher impact than changing the pump. Because we have at Graco.com website, if you go and search like pressure loss calculator, we have a really nice tool, the pressure loss calculator, where you can actually type your system requirements. You tell you like, you got 15W40, you got your ambient temperature, you tell what is your desired flow. Because also, all times you see, you know, the meters, the handles, like 68 liters per minute or 70 liters per minute, the flow rate. And they say, hey, I want this one. You know, I want the higher flow meter. But this is just the capacity that it allow 68 liters to be flown through it. But you need to make sure you have the right pump in the system that can actually create this flow. Because if you use like 3/4, like 68 liters per minute meter, but you are using half inch hose and you're using like 10:1 pump, I mean, you can get like 10 liters per minute maximum. You don't need that meter anymore. Just because you squeezed your system. You squeezed the pump. The pump is not performing and it's supposed to perform in this application. So in this calculator, the pressure loss, we will take into account the fluid, the temperature, the flow, desired flow rate. What do you want to achieve the flow rate? How much do you want? You also put the hose reel there, the distance, the height, you know, the size of the pipe into the hose reel and everything. It gives you the pressure drop in your system and also suggests your Graco pump to for the system to achieve the desired volume. So, and I can tell you on the same specs, you can use a half inch hose reel and then you change it to 3/4 hose reel. The pressure drop will be 4 times less just replacing the hose reel. So with those customers that I have discussions, all I tell them, hey man, you just, what kind of hose reel you have, like a half inch? And I tell them, well, you don't need to change the pump. You can leave the pump you have, just change the hose reel. It's much less, I would say, cost would be for you just changing the hose reel because you just squeezed your system. So the pump is not always a solution, although you need to have a right pump. So it's really, so that's why what I'm trying to do, like especially working with the mining, is that really like, what do you want from the system? Like, and we have got big range of different pumps for different applications, for different reasons, you know, and you not always you need to go for the bigger pumps you have, for the most expensive pumps you have. You need to become smart. You really need to see, even with the biggest, the most expensive pump may not work in your system if you are just simply using their own piping size.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a couple of things in there, right? So part of it is certainly line sizing, right? And obviously, the back pressure is kind of a function of both the circumference, right, of the tubing, as well as the area, right? So the area kind of governs your flow rate that can go. Obviously, the circumference is going to determine the interaction of the fluid with the wall. And so when you put all of those two together, then yeah, small differences in pipe diameter can make a very big difference in when it comes to back pressure and therefore flow rate. So that's obviously something to keep in mind. One other thing, you know, is obviously going to be temperature, because so this is not something that I typically encounter with a lot of my customers, because being in Australia, we don't get the low temperature extremes that we do in Europe, right? So if you're somewhere in Russia or, you know, northern Finland or northern Sweden, you know, if anyone's seen the charts, for example, you know, even just oil, let's not talk about Greece just yet. Even if you look at oil, right, and you look at the chart of, let's say, base oil viscosity versus temperature, one thing that you'll see is that it looks relatively stable, let's say between 40 and 100. We measure viscosity index between 40 and 100, but when you go the other way and you start to go from, let's say, below zero to, let's say, minus 10, minus 20, minus 30, what you see is a very sharp inflection. And even on a logarithmic graph, where, you know, you expect to see straight lines, you even then seeing it substantially increase at low temperatures, which means, and that's where the advantages of synthetics comes in, right? Because the differences in viscosity between a mineral and a synthetic are not that much, you know, at your mid-range temperatures of 60 or 70 degrees Celsius. But when you get to minus 30, minus 35, when you're kind of approaching the pour point, then it's a dramatic difference. So yeah, definitely. Like obviously, line sizing has to go along with pump sizing. You've got to kind of look at the entire system as a unit.
A little bit of sidetrack that you touched a nice topic about the cold temperature pumpability of the oils. But yeah, I wanted just a quick example of greases as well. So the grease is not Newton liquid. It's very hard really to measure its viscosity to understand. But what is interesting, so we've done some cold temperature tests for our electric pumps for automatic lubrication systems. And what is interesting, you know, most of the people go for the lowest NLGI, thinking that this is the solution for their problem, for the pumpability. But sometimes it's not the case. Because, for example, we've done tests, so we've taken, for example, a mineral-based grease with the NLGI 0, 100 centistokes base oil viscosity, lithium complex, 5% molybdenum inside. And we measured the flow rate of our electric pump and the highest pressure under minus 40 degrees C, it at the 3500 PSI, the flow rate was roughly 0.86 cubic inches per minute. And then the same pump, the same conditions, the same minus 40 degrees C, the same pressure 3500 PSI, but we took 1.5 LGI, fully synthetic, lithium complex grease, also 100 centistokes base oil. And actually, the flow rate was nearly 2 times higher than with an LGI zero grease. So it's an LGI zero, an LGI 1.5 grease. So an LGI 1.5 is being pumped, has a higher flow with the same pump because just basically have like synthetic in the base.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, right? So certainly, okay. So let's go general rule of thumb versus specific, right? So I don't exactly know what's going on there, but as a general rule of thumb, when you're operating at the temperatures that you see in like Australian mine sites, most of the time, yes, you go with a lower NLGI is more pumpable, and that's why you know these semi-fluid greases are very typical of centralized lubrication systems. You know, NLGI 0, 00, triple aught. You know, that's very typical because obviously the less thickener you have, then theoretically the more pumpable it is. Now, what's interesting is that when you get to extremely low temperatures, and I'd have to talk to a grease specialist about this, but I would assume that the base oil viscosity starts to kind of dominate the flow properties. So we just talked, for example, about the fact that at very low temperatures, the base oil viscosity between a synthetic and a mineral, which are both the same viscosity at 40 degrees Celsius, substantially diverge, right? And so if you had a quite a large divergence, you could very much see that a mineral NLGI zero would end up having kind of a thicker flow property than an NLGI 1.5 that is a synthetic. So again, it's one of those things where, you know, we always talk on this channel about having to think through all the consequences of the choices that we're making. And in very cold temperature extremes, then lubricant selection, in addition to, you know, your pump and your line selection, it's all got to kind of work as one system.
Yeah, that's exactly, we need to consider all of the inputs, the types of the pump, the reels, the hose size, the meters, handles, the air pressure availability, or the electrical power, hydraulic power, type of product that you or we are pumping. So it's really, if you really want to make it smart and you really want to achieve like high results in the performance of your workshop or your automatic lubrication system, you got to really consider a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, Danilo, thanks very much, because that I think has been a really good session on just explaining the workings of the pumps and everything that has to be kind of looked at when we're talking about pumping of both lubricants and greases. Now, keep in mind that it's not a simple exercise.
Yeah.